Today is March 18th. The MLB spring breakout game was fun. Bucks come out of nowhere with a couple moves on Friday, and we're more than halfway through spring games. What do we know? Where are we going? You're listening to the Bridge to Bucktober podcast. Yins guys, thank you for listening to the Bridge to Bucktober podcast, where we talk all about them Pittsburgh Pirates and that. My name is Josh, and I am joined, as always, by my brother Jake. What's up, Jake?
How's it going, man?
Wearing our St. Patrick's Day clothes today.
Top of the morning to you, lad.
Top of the morning to you. The Pittsburgh way would be top of the morning to Yins, right?
Yeah.
Is that it?
Yeah.
I think that's it.
Yep.
So we're actually.
I've been in a mood today, man.
Yeah.
I've had Celtic radio on all day at work. It's been a good day.
We're actually recording this Saturday night. You got a long, long day at work tomorrow. Mm-hmm. And so Saturday night. So we did put our green on for the episode, like we said we would, but we'll be wearing it on Sunday. So for the listeners, we wore it yesterday. But yeah, excited. I've heard that Bradenton has like a big St. Patrick's Day parade.
I'd love to be down there for that sometime.
Maybe we picked the wrong time to be down there. Maybe next year we kind of think about putting it around that or something. I don't know. We'll think about it.
Food for thought.
All right, we've got a few things to talk about today. Spring breakout game happened this week. Some injury updates a little bit. Pirates signed Michael Taylor and Domingo Herman on Friday out of nowhere. We're going to take a look at the rotation options and the roster heading into the season. What we think right now with about 7 games left. Now for you and I, right, it's 8 games left because there's still Sunday's game.
Right.
But as far as it goes, there's, 7-8 games left in the spring, and it's about time to start knowing who's coming ahead and who's falling behind. And even though I think that they could let that go all the way, there's enough time to make that decision last minute. Yeah. I think that they've got some ideas, and, that's basically what we'll talk about. So, let's get into the spring breakout game that happened on Thursday. Interestingly, if you look at the statistics, this is something I found out. That's a minor league game. That doesn't show up in spring training stats. So if you see like, well, I thought Skeens threw it a little bit more than that. Well, yeah, he threw a little bit more than that. But in that spring breakout game, that is a minor league game. That doesn't count in spring training statistics. And with that said, I know this isn't spring breakout game, but I might as well say it. All the work that they're doing behind the scenes over at Pirate City or whatever also aren't showing up, right? These guys are pitching more.
Yeah. Right, sure.
And they're hitting more. Like, you know what I mean? There's more going on that we don't see. So when you say like, man, they're really not stretching so-and-so out, they are. They are. We just don't know about it.
Right.
Pitching was on display. Oh my gosh.
Bro, we gave up the one hit and it was a bunt.
Yeah. And I'll say, like, the Orioles had two pitchers. Each went 3 innings. And Trace Bright, the second pitcher who came in, the lefty was good too, but Trace Bright, his stuff was nasty.
Yeah.
I was really impressed. But we're not here to talk about him. Paul Skeens starts off the game 101, 101, 102. Good morning, good afternoon, good night. And these are top prospects too. You know what I'm saying?
Yeah. He's the one that ended up with that little butt single too. That dude can fly.
He can fly.
Fly.
But it doesn't help when you say, try to hit this.
Right. He straight up challenged him.
Yeah. Well, he was, you could tell he was amped. That was important to him, I think.
Yeah.
He was amped for it. He was going for it. I had a buddy say, yeah, they're probably not adjusted to 102 yet this early in spring. And I said, you don't adjust to 102. You just don't. You close your eyes and swing, and then you don't adjust.
You swing hard in case you hit it.
Yeah, exactly. It's just not something that you can adjust to. Obviously, we had our conversation last week about pitch. It was just last week, right? About pitching injuries and everything. Mm-hmm. He only had one inning to throw there. You know, maybe you'd hope he paces himself when he goes out there for some games and not gets injured, but this guy's a freak too. You just don't know. But he knew he had one inning.
Yeah, I mean, yep. You'd like to see him be able to play that too, like you were saying, like 97, 98. It's still hard. It's not like he's like throwing 92. You know what I mean? He's still going to hit upper 90 just with ease too.
Like, well, and he got Holiday with the changeup following the slider. That was nasty. Yeah. And so that's one of the things that we said that we noticed when we were there was like he didn't have a feel for his changeup yet. And it seemed like when he followed the slider that he got him to swing and miss at the top, he followed that with the changeup, which was still arm side, right? But he swings because he just threw the slider, I think, one or two pitches before that. And so, I mean, he had no chance. And this is...
He threw back-to-back changeups to strike him out, didn't he?
I thought the first one was a slider.
It might have been.
The swing and miss was because it broke towards Holiday.
Yeah.
And then I thought the next pitch...
Off on two.
Well, did he foul one of them off? Because that was strike two was the... Well, maybe strike one was the slider. I don't know.
Strike one was the slider because he went down 3-0.
Okay.
Or 2-0, then the slider, something like that. I don't know.
Yeah,
exactly,
and then maybe, whatever it was. The changeup got him. That's the pitch he needs to work on. Last time he threw a curveball to him. So we know that there's a curveball that still is kind of in development as well. But man, he was lights out. Felt good after the Holiday one too. Felt good. He's got him, he's 0-for-2 now against Skeens.
Dude,
this guy's just another animal. Like he's a different human.
For sure.
Very excited.
I had a conversation with a guy down here who's a big LSU fan, right? And he's like, oh, he's going to be in the bigs. I'm like, oh, we just got to get him that 5-day, routine.
Yeah. Physically, I think that's
pretty
much
what he's got to do.
That's the main concern is physically, right? He wasn't the only one. So Ashcraft has actually impressed us throughout the spring in the little sprinkles. So I think he gave up the lone run in this, but maybe a couple walks in there, but he was still good. I think, Hunter Barco threw two innings, very good. And I think that kind of got some people excited again. You know what I mean? Like, okay, like to see that. Bubba Chandler... He's on that level too. He's a different guy.
Did you hear Hannah Myers talk to him about closing?
Oh, Hannah Myers.
She's like Hannah Myers. Yeah, she's like next closer. He goes, oh gosh, no. He goes, I'll stick to starting.
Yeah,
that's funny.
Yeah,
but then he was good, man.
I mean, there's a lot that's good. So Solomino didn't get to pitch in this because he had just been sick. So he didn't get to pitch. Harrington, we know, had some shoulder tightness or something like that that kind of got him out. So, and I think he's thrown since, but not in this, right? He's not going to be in this. Jared Jones not included in this. They've said that he's got a shot to get a spot. We'll talk about that later, but like, is that maybe why? I don't know.
Right.
But it was very exciting. Tamar was fun, but the show was really pitching that night. So, all right, let's get into some quick hits here. Grandal update. He is catching and hitting, but not running the bases. I was talking to Gary from the fan forum over there, and he also mentioned this on their show this week, that he was catching, hitting, not running the bases. That's been reported as well. But also that Kutch was not running the bases at Pirate City. And so that was like, oh, no. But he was in the lineup Saturday, DH, got a couple hits, ran the bases. All's fine. I mean, seems like it. He dealt with the sickness too, right, that they've been passing around. And so, yeah, maybe that's it. Maybe there's nothing there as far as like being injured or whatever. G1 Bay still dealing with a hip injury. I think it's pretty safe to say he's going to start the season on the IL. I mean, he's barely played.
Right.
And the other quick hit here is Domingo Germán signs a minor league deal with an incentive to make it to the MLB. He'll get like 1.25. I think there's extra incentives there. I'm not really sure the exact numbers. They're somewhere around there. At first, it was just reported as 1.5, and then there was some sort of 1.25 thrown in there. So I don't really know. Like, I didn't get to actually see what that is. The reports are out there. You can go look. The point is we're talking about the signing. And yeah, there is a mutual option, too, for like $2 million, 2.5 or something like that for 2025. Obviously, assuming he makes it to the majors, that is a mutual option. This one was a little bit surprising. We're going to talk about Taylor after this, but this one was a little bit surprising afterwards. And immediate reaction was, I guess, kind of one of those, you know what I mean? Kind of, I don't know about this one. I don't know about this one. You and I don't talk a lot about, we kind of teeter around this stuff, right? We like to talk baseball. We don't talk a lot about like off-field stuff, right?
Right.
We can leave our opinions of those things aside for a while. For me, Domingo Germán is not an off-the-field. It's an off-the-field. It's not a, I guess it is considered off-the-field, but it directly impacts the clubhouse. Yeah. He has an alcohol, or he has had, let's benefit of the doubt here, he has had an alcohol problem. It has been completely away from the clubhouse. It's affected things, and he's gotten into some trouble there. But as far as a baseball team and baseball things, it is affected just last year in the clubhouse. An incident where there was too much alcohol consumed and some kind of flipping tables kind of thing, right? You can look it up. It's out there. I don't want to go too far. For me, these are the kinds of things that I say, are we sure we want to go there, right?
Yeah.
And I kind of made a comment that says, if I'm signing into a deal, it's a conditional deal. This was the way I said it. You are 100% sober. And I know everybody's going to say, oh, you could have a drink. Not when you have problems. Right. 100% sober. And if you ever are not, the remainder of the contract is void, walk. You're gone. And I don't owe you another penny, right? If you stay sober, it's all there. It seems like they went a different route, because then later it came out, this is a minor league deal. And Jason Mackey tweeted this from a Pirates source. He said the team met with Germán and his wife several times, as well as various team, league, and MLBPA sources. This has been going on for a while, and they've been doing their homework. I respect that. However, what they came up with is, it says the organization's stance is he has to earn his way back to the big leagues with strong off-field and on-field work. Now, Mackey has something out here on it. Alex Stumpf has something out there on it. The guys are writing about this. I'm sure there's more details. I have not gotten a chance to read either one of those, right? But I've seen these bits and pieces. And the thing is if the team is going to go out of their way, and they stick to this, this guy basically is only going to make it to the majors if he's on his best behavior. And he pitches well.
And performing, yeah.
Because let's not forget that, like, it's not like he was lights out last year. I mean, sure, he threw a no-hitter, but Or was it perfect? Was it a perfect game or a no-hitter? You got me. I don't care.
Honestly,
it doesn't matter.
I can't remember.
Either way, right? I'm not, as a full season, he wasn't awesome. Now, some of that has to do with maybe the incident and whatnot. You know what I mean? But you just have to make sure that he not only performs, but that he's also being good and he's not causing problems. You don't have to look it up. Doesn't matter. We're going to move on in
a
second.
Perfect.
Okay. It was perfect. So anyway, anything to add there before we move on to Taylor?
Not really. I mean, you've touched on it all. I mean, he's going to have to be a good human, you know what I mean? As well as a good pitcher. So, I mean, it is what it is. It's a minor league deal. So it's like whatever to me.
Yeah, I mean, obviously you don't want him to affect anybody down there either, but I think if the organization can hold to their statements here, and if something does happen, I think in this case, and I'm somebody who believes in, you know, giving people chances. I still think that like this is your chance. This still should be a zero tolerance policy here. And you know what I mean? 100%. It's not like you're going to off the dude, right? You're just going to release him from a baseball team. It's not like he can't have another chance at life. You know what I mean? But, you know what I mean? It just doesn't mean that you have to play baseball.
playing major league baseball is a privilege.
Sure.
And just you got to treat it as so.
Yeah. And they're saying he has to earn it. So, and I think that as a person who admits he has a problem, I could see him accepting this and saying, I understand. And, you know, I appreciate the opportunity. So maybe we'll see. Mm-hmm. I don't know. Obviously,
yeah,
you know, that goes a lot of ways. Let's talk about Michael A. Taylor.
Sure.
First thought when I texted you and you'd read the thing and then got my text. First thought, go ahead, give it to me.
I said this sounds like a 2019 Pirates move. But it's not. I mean, it's better than that. It's not. It's not a terrible player. You know, you're getting an elite defender in a decent bat.
Okay. So you've had some time to think about it. You've had time to look up numbers. You've had some time. Now, we talked about him before, and our thing was he's got to out-hit the next guy. And thinking that may be like a Palacios or a, you know what I mean, Olivares or whoever it is. Because understanding that if Michael Taylor plays, he's going to center field. But it's going to bump Jack to right. And so somebody's getting bumped out of the lineup.
Yeah.
And I don't, my statements that I made, I think it was December or January when we talked about this. The statements that I made was this offense needs to score runs. And we weren't 100% confident that this offense can. But we even need more because we're not 100% confident in the starting rotation necessarily.
Right.
Some of this is changing as we look. We're seeing better at bats. We're seeing a fair amount of power. You know, so we're starting to think like, okay, maybe this offense could absorb somebody who's strictly defense. You know, can you? I don't know. But that's what regular season comes around. We'll have our answers. This is still spring training after all. Mm-hmm. So, you know, you have to be cautious of not overhyping everything, but you know what I'm saying. But also, you know, however it plays out, you're for $4 million, which is about half of what I thought when we were talking about this last time.
Yeah.
You know what I mean? He made $4.5 million the last 2 years. So this is a pay cut for him.
Mm-hmm.
And that to me is like, okay, we got a 33-year-old coming in who's, you know, big part of his game is his defense, which probably includes speed. That's going to be impacted just by age in general. I think 33 is still okay. You know what I mean? So I'm not, you know, too worried about it. But let me take you through some of the quotes that we had earlier this offseason. Our first gripe was about using his middle initial all the time. I've just chosen to just call him Michael Taylor. This is no big deal then, or just Taylor, and it's no big deal. But one of the quotes, he's not a great hitter. I understand you're saying we need a center fielder. The team's desperate to score runs, especially considering the starting rotation. These are all the things I just kind of talked about. Taylor doesn't help you score runs. Maybe, but these guys are probably going to give up home runs. So they're going to walk guys. I get the idea, but like he's not going to help with walks and home runs on defense. But he did hit 21 home runs last year. You made a statement that if he's playing at PNC Park, maybe he doesn't get to 21. So there's right. there's some of that too. And then basically it was about, you know, you can't carry six outfielders necessarily on the roster. That's just, you know, that's, you need more infielders in that sense. There's actually an extra position in the infield. So it makes sense to say you need more infielders.
right.
But anyway, it's just kind of one of those things. So where are you at as you got to kind of sit back? Because I feel like I'm in a different place now than I was when we talked about this last time because of I'm a little more optimistic about the offense, for one. I don't know if I'm a little more optimistic about the rotation or not. I don't know. So we'll get there. But for $4 million, it's a big deal for me. It's not a 2-year deal, which is what we thought. We thought it would be more like 8 to 10 million. I am different about this because of that and because I think they're pretty committed to I don't know. I'm not going to go there. Let me just hear your thoughts now that you've had, like you said, now that you've had some time to sit back, you're not as upset about it as you were.
Yeah. Well, like for starters, I'm going to say something I haven't said to you yet. The only thing I really don't love about it is I don't love that he's, this is going to sound strange. Don't love it that he's an elite center fielder. Because we signed into a 1-year deal. So let's move Jack to left or right for 1 year. Then he goes back to center. Like, dude, if he's your center fielder, he's your center fielder.
Mm-hmm. Okay.
You know, I just feel like you're just pulling Jack away from the position that you will probably want him at long term for now. We don't have a center fielder waiting to come up.
True.
You know what I mean? So it's not like we'll plug him in for a year and then this guy's going to be ready for center field next year.
Mm-hmm.
Unless they think Bay is going to be ready for center field next year. I don't know. Maybe that's their thought process.
Yeah, they definitely like him in center, Bay.
I mean, you got to like him in center better than, you know, second.
I think if he commits to center field, he'll get better there.
And that's something I've been saying this whole time. I feel like he profiles best as a center fielder. And if he plays out there all the time, maybe he'll get better at it. Maybe he'll get good at it.
I mean, let's not forget that he also needs to hit, and he hasn't done that yet. So there's some of that too. But this isn't about Bay. Let's stay on task here. I don't want to derail you.
right.
So. But yeah, I get what you're saying.
But other than that, on the other side of that, I do like picking up an elite center fielder.
Let me ask you this. Did this lineup, because lineup matters, right? Did this lineup, this defensive lineup and offensive lineup, did this team get better with that signing and have a better chance to win more games than they did before the signing? Even if it's two more games.
Sure. I'm going to say, yeah.
Okay.
Let's face it. Our right fielders weren't getting the job done.
Yeah.
I know it's spring training, but
it just hasn't been great. So we've talked about this before. Like, hey, you're going through the motions. Key Brian Hayes is out there. He's going through the motions, right? Mm-hmm. He's making sure that he gets his legs underneath him. He's making sure that his timing's on. We talked about Brian Reynolds. Like the average is but he's hitting the ball hard, right? So we've really liked where he was at. When we said that, and you have that clip where you're saying, I really like where he's at, he was hitting like 197. But it wasn't about his batting average, right? You saw good swing decisions. He was hitting the ball hard. I said the same thing about Jack Sawinski. He was really impressed with me. He was hitting the ball hard. He was hitting 203. But then the last 2 days, you start to get closer to the season. Jack's had back-to-back three-hit games, home run in each one. This is how he does it, right? I understand. Mm-hmm. Say what you want. But the thing is as you get closer to the season, you're going to start seeing those regular players. Brian Reynolds had two hits today. Kutch had two hits today. You're going to start seeing them start to, like, things are going to start clicking. And that's mm-hmm. normal. However, if you're playing for a spot, you don't have time to do that. You have right. to perform. You don't mm-hmm. just think about, let me get my legs under me. It's, let me get my job. Mm-hmm. So Triolo, Peguero, Gonzalez, Henry Davis, Olivares, Palacios, who's been, you know, dealing with an injury and then a sickness and then who knows what else. He's barely played. Connor Joe, which I think he was safe, but like he doesn't have a starting spot, so he's playing for something.
Yeah.
And then you talk about like non-rosters like Jake Lamb and Billy McKinney and Celestino. And, you know, you've seen little flashes of all these guys actually doing things and getting results because if you're fighting for a job, results matter.
Yeah.
So by sure. saying Palacios and Olivares has had more, you said this before, we were looking at this. He's got more at bats than anybody else mm-hmm. on the team because he's getting a shot and it hasn't been great. That doesn't mean he's not ever going to be a good player. It means you may not make this team out of the gate. You're going to have to go to AAA right. and start clicking in order to get a shot. And who's going to get that spot? Well, now it's Taylor because they've just signed him and brought him in. When you didn't like any of your center field options, you had to go get a center field option. And now they have one.
See,
you didn't like yeah. any of if Jack got a day off, you didn't feel good about anyone going out there.
Right, right. And that's the thing. So then they
with
they
Bay went hurt.
Out not only right. And they didn't just say, oh, let's get a right fielder that can play center. They went and they just got a center fielder because he was the best available free agent that was, you know, a smart decision to pick up.
Yeah. Would you rather have him or Duvall? Taylor, Duvall, which I one? Mean, Duvall just got picked up too, right? So, I mean.
Right. Me personally, I'd rather have Duvall, but.
Really? So, because Duvall's terrible in center field. He can play it, but he's terrible.
And I'll take him. I'll take that bat.
Okay.
With a below average defense. But either way, I don't hate the signing. I really don't.
Okay. Yeah, I mean,
I also don't love it. Like, I'm not in love with this signing.
I think for $4 million, I you could get me there. If he starts playing well, I'm in love with it, right?
Sure.
But I'm with you as well. I will ask one more question about the comments, because I like that. The comments about, hey, you know, what are you going to play teeter-totter here with Jack a little bit? If you have a guy who's an elite center fielder, then when he comes into play, yes, you move Sawinski over. But I think if Sawinski's the starter in center field and when Taylor comes in, he moves over. But if Taylor's out there most days and you're saying, well, then Jack is your left fielder and Jack subs into center when Taylor's not in, I think that plays a little different role and speaks more to what you're saying. But let me ask you this, like, do you think that long-term they do see Jack as a center fielder, or were they saying, this is our best available guy, we're going to keep putting him out there until we get somebody else?
I feel like I thought this dude was a good center fielder. You know what I mean? Like, sure. he's our center fielder.
Yeah. Yeah, I think for me, I mean, he has to be in the lineup, period. And I think mm-hmm. that he's fine in center field. I think that the metrics that everybody claims, I think, they're not perfect for outfielders, for sure. And mm-hmm. I think that maybe there's some unfavorable metrics. But we've seen with Sawinski that, I mean, remember, we talked about Corey Dickerson before, or like earlier this week when you and I were talking, like, yeah, Corey Dickerson was bad too, and he won a gold glove. You know what I'm saying? So, like, anybody yeah. can work their way into being better if they have the skills. Jack definitely has the skills. Mm-hmm. And just like Bay has the skills, but he's right now just so bad, and he could be better with the work.
Right.
So that's kind of where I'm at with it. I think that Jack long term would be best in like a right field. I think that the arm is super undervalued. It was an above average arm when he played right field, and then when he played center, it was below average. So I don't know, like, did he just not have as many opportunities to unleash it or what? Like, because those are metrics based on what you actually did. They didn't take him out into a yard and say, how good's your arm? They just said, based on his opportunities, this is what his arm was compared to other center fielders. If it if he was above average in right field, where all the best arms are, then I feel like he's got the arm. He just didn't show it off in center. Yeah. Maybe that was opportunity. I don't know. You get a lot of opportunities at PNC Park because you take that ball off the wall. You're trying to throw a guy out at second, so you get a lot of opportunities to throw hard at that stadium. So I don't know. Either way, that's another rabbit trail. I think long term, you'd rather have a better defensive center fielder long term. You just would have to, what? You fall in that, your chair? You have a Charlie horse? This is hilarious. He just makes a sound, guys. Yeah. I thought it was your chair. Jake's chair also just like goes down, like just drops on him every once in a while. This is really good. I'm going to pivot to the next thing here while Jake deals with this Charlie horse. And if it doesn't go away here in a second, we'll probably pause and give him a moment. But for those of you watching on YouTube, you can kind of laugh at him for a little bit while he makes these faces. He's cracking up right now. We're going to get into some starting pitching here. And we're going to work our way into talking about the roster a little bit. And we're going to start with the starting rotation because this is obviously one of the hot topics of where we're going. What is this team going to look like? What are the results so far in spring training? We just talked about results are important for those who are fighting for a spot. And, well, let's start with Roansy Contreras and Bailey Falter, who probably, with zero options, had a leg up in the race to start things off. Strictly based on that. Are you okay? Not yet. All right, not yet. Both Bailey Falter and Roansy Contreras have struggled mightily. We had one good outing from probably each. Even the good outing from Contreras was like, hey, we liked what we saw, but there were some results that were mixed. And so it's really been a tough spring for him. 8.03 ERA right now for Bailey Falter with a 1.7 whip. Roansy is 7.59 with a 1.97 whip. He has 10 walks and 10 and two-thirds innings, Roansy does. And, you know, Bailey Falter, the walks haven't been there because he throws everything right over the middle and he's getting crushed. A ton of hard contact off of him, even though he has 11 strikeouts. So the strikeouts are kind of there, but it's a 3.45 average against him. He's given up 4 home runs, 11 earned runs, 19 hits in 12 innings. Like, it's been ugly. And then you look at like 11 strikeouts and 2 walks. Well, that's not terrible, but everything else is bad. And then you look at Roansy, who's, you know, given up 5 hits in 11 innings and only 2 runs. I'm sorry, that's the wrong one. 11 hits in 10 innings, 9 runs, and you're just, you know, it's a lot of the same stuff. Not quite as many hits. But then he's walked 10 and struck out 4. So he's not even, I mean, it's just not been good for either one of them. 2 years younger is Contreras, if that matters to anybody. Neither one of these guys have options. There's no way these guys make your starting rotation.
No, they're out.
Welcome back, Jake.
Yeah, it's not gone, but we'll push through.
This is dedication, folks. All right, let's pause it. Let's pause it. We'll be right back. A little bit of a peek into the whole brother thing. I probably should have had a little more sympathy earlier than that.
It's all good. It's all good.
I just thought it would go away. I haven't experienced those long Charlie horses yet. You must be older than me.
No.
Don't do that to you, huh? All right. So anyway, I said some things here about Contreras and Falter and some numbers and stuff. Where are you at? What are you thinking here?
I just think with the Contreras-Falter thing, it's just been struggle after struggle. You know what I mean? Like, they're not, neither one of them stepping up.
Those results that we were just talking about, you know?
Mm-hmm.
So if they're out, then there's two spots that, you know, they were going for. Let's talk about some of the other options for that. We mentioned, first off, Luis Ortiz was on that list. Quinn Priester was on that list. And then earlier in the spring, we find out Jared Jones is on that list. And we weren't sure how serious they were, but they were saying it. So we're going to hold them to it. Is there a chance that there's a non-roster? I guess Jared Jones is non-roster, so you know what I mean. But to go one step further, maybe like Chase Anderson, is there a chance? I mean, he's been very good.
It's you got to blow you away.
Seven innings. If I pull up the Baseball Reference, I'm still waiting for some updates on there. We've talked about opponent quality and things like that. So when I look at Chase Anderson, as far as opponent quality goes, what did I just say for the innings? Seven. Okay, so he hasn't pitched in a game since Wednesday, since this has been updated. That opponent quality is a 6.7, which is meaning that he's mostly facing, you know, double A-ish players, maybe a little less than double A players on average, right?
Yeah.
So, I mean, he's obviously, if he's faced major leaguers, he's done well because he hasn't given up a run yet. He's only struck out three. He's walked two. He's a lot of ground balls. You know what I mean? He's everything's good.
Yeah.
So he's faced 22 hitters. It makes it tough to really know. I would assume if he has a shot, he's going to have to start a game against some major leaguers this week. You know what I'm saying? These next 7-8 games, you're going to have to see him go against, you know what I mean, some better hitters and see how he fares, because that's a big move. I mean, we're talking about non-roster guys, and we're going to talk about them here. I mean, in the last, you know, 20 minutes or so of this, there's going to be some conversations about this. There's moves to make if you pull the non-roster guy in there.
Right.
So I think for starters and with Chase Anderson, what's his chances?
I just don't think they're good, man. I really don't. Dude's 36 years old, and I just don't. He hasn't done enough throughout his career to say, you know, we give him a more of a shot because of what he's done.
Let me ask you this.
That makes sense?
Yeah, it does make sense. Let me ask you this. What do you need from him? What do you need from maybe these last two spots, or maybe, because if it's a different guy, right? But if it's a Chase Anderson, what do you need from him, and what do you need from maybe even like, we've said Marco Gonzalez is probably in this thing. You know what I mean? That whole move, you know, your three, Keller, Perez, Gonzalez, whether you like them or not, you know that they're probably starting this season in the rotation. They're your 1-2-3. Doesn't matter what order they're in. I'm just saying they're 1-2-3. And, you know, it's those last two spots. And so what do you need from him? Are you assuming Paul Skeens does make this team this year? If so, whether it's June, whether it's August, or anywhere around, you know what I'm saying?
Yeah.
Do you need him to get you all the way there? If you're a guy who says, man, I think maybe Priester is good, but not starting. How long until Priester's there? Does he only need to get you that far? What about Jared Jones if he doesn't start on the roster? When does Jared Jones make his debut? May, June? If so, does Chase Anderson only have to get me there? When you say that, does he have a chance? Because that's Jared Jones and a Paul Skeens, that'd be a 1-to-1 move. One guy gets DFA'd, the other guy gets added. That's you don't have to say like, well, then, you know, what are you going to do? Just pass him on weight? You know what I'm saying? Like, you have a direct move to make. You've got to add somebody to. And then what you're doing with Chase Anderson is if he's earned something better, maybe you put him on waivers, you try to make a trade. You know what I'm saying? And then you get your debut. Do you do something like that? If he's doing well, does that prolong it, right? The only time is if he struggles. So anyway, that's a lot to say. How long do you really need him?
I don't. at all. I just don't need it. That's just where I'm at. And I understand he's having a good showing in spring, but good job. But you know, you haven't been able to win a spot on any team you've really been on, and you really haven't had to sustain any real major league stints. You know, he's not where the Pirates are.
Two teams last year, Tampa Bay and Colorado, made 17 starts in Colorado. He did not start in Tampa Bay. 5.75 ERA in 80 innings. Year before that, he was in Cincinnati, made 7 starts, 6.38. Year before that, he was in Philly, 9 starts, 6.75, 14 appearances total. Year before that, he was in Toronto, 7 starts, 10 outings, 7.22. I mean, this is not good.
Right.
And then there was the years in Milwaukee, which were, I mean, he had one really good year back in 2017. That's a long time ago. But he was making starts every year, 21, 27, 30, 25, 30, 27. Actually, the first two of those, 21, 27, those were in Arizona. So, I mean, and he was like, you know, for 2 years, 2017, I'm sorry, 2018, he had a 393 and 30 starts, 158 innings. Like, yeah, that's good enough too. But it hasn't been good for the
back far enough. But
how far do you go back? I mean, the last 4 years, it's been really bad.
Right. And that's, you know, since 2020, really.
Yeah.
It's been bad.
So with that said, I guess that's fair to say that the 2020 season, the 7 starts and 10 outings, like that's most of the season really in 2020. Yeah. You know what I mean? So, you know, when you look at that, you're saying, well, it's got to be a lot. In order to say I don't need anything from him, you have to be confident that there's two other guys that are showing up. So what do you got? Who's your two guys? Maybe three guys. Where do you think we're at right now? Talk about somebody else. Pick somebody.
Are we jumping to the rotation right now?
Well, that's what we're talking about. I'm not asking you to put the five in right now. I'm saying,
I got you.
We're at that whole section of the notes where it just says starting pitching.
Yeah.
We're shaping that out, though.
Right. My three guys that I'm looking at right now are Priester, Ortiz, and Jared Jones just keeps knocking on the door, and he is performing against a little bit better talent and, mm-hmm. you know, a lot younger. And we're actually looking for this guy to be something.
Mm-hmm. Yeah. The lineup that he just faced on Saturday in Atlanta was essentially everyone but Acuna and Sean Murphy. But like you said, Darnell is still a capable hitter at the plate too.
Yeah.
This is a very good lineup.
Mm-hmm.
And he went 4 scoreless innings with 2 hits and 4 strikeouts and a walk. I mean, he was good.
Mm-hmm.
And that was the start for me to see him go 4 innings. How many pitches is he throwing here? It's not that one. That's groundouts, flyouts. Where are we at? Do we not have a number of pitches?
Should be. Just NP.
Well, no. Usually it's down at the bottom of the box score, and it is not on here. I knew we were limited, but it looks like we don't have an actual pitch count. We have groundouts, flyouts, and we have batters faced. He faced 14 hitters, but we don't have a number of pitches. Good. Usually you get the number of pitches and the number of strikes, right?
Yeah,
it's not at the bottom of the box score here, so they obviously didn't even have that. So, okay, anyway, that's interesting. But either way, to see him go 4 innings, 14 hitters, against a very good lineup and do very good, now you're starting to say, oh, okay, maybe. Who's his competition? Let's go Luis Ortiz, right? How's Luis Ortiz looking? What have you seen? And what have you liked? Because I think it's been mostly good. I think that he's got the best track record.
Right. I mean, the strikeouts are there. He's pitched 12 innings, got 15 strikeouts.
The walks are also there, the problem of them. He's got 7 walks during that time. So that's, you know, that's one of the things that you're saying, okay.
Yeah, I mean, opponents batting 209. I like seeing that.
He's hard to hit. Base
percentage is better because this, you know, the 7 walks, but I don't know, man. I kind of like where he's at. I think he's to the point where he needs to work on like the walks and stuff like that, but he can do that at the major league level while he's starting in the five spot in our rotation, four or five.
Yeah.
You know what I mean?
Yep.
Like I just.
Yep. I get that.
He's a guy. He's a guy that I would look at and say, I need you to pitch well enough until so-and-so gets here. And I would pick him over Chase Anderson every day.
Yeah. Okay. I get that. I think it's possibly, sorry, go ahead.
No, I just, that's why I'm so out on Chase Anderson. Like, I just don't think he's an option.
I think it's possibly a situation where you say, Luis Ortiz, this is kind of your shot. We've got guys coming. If you're going to be a part of this, let's see what you got. Let's start you there now.
Now's the time.
Now's the time. Because eventually you're saying, I mean, Perez and Gonzalez are on 1 year deals. I mean, I know Gonzalez has an option, but it's for like $20 million. It's not going to happen. but either way, like you're saying, these guys are on, you know, 1 year deals basically. Is he going to be a part of this next year? If so, he has to be a part of it the rest of this year. And so there's like a part of that to say, like, hey, when Jared Jones comes up, if he's not already there, when Paul Skeens comes up, if there's somebody else, I mean, you know, there's other names, there's other guys. I don't know if they're necessarily beating down the door the way that maybe those two guys are, but.
Yeah, but you also have injuries. You got Brubaker coming back.
That's right. You got Brubaker coming back. Name. You don't know if Burroughs, if he comes back good, he could be a guy pushing his way. Braxton Ashcraft is on this roster now. Jackson Wolf, I mean, if he breaks out, there's guys that are close, right? That are knocking, and who's going to be the best? Now, obviously, not everybody works out. You know what I'm saying? Not everybody has a great year. So it's going to play out, but you'd like to see Luis Ortiz get the shot now. Right. Quinn Priester and Jared Jones, on the other hand, if they don't get the shot right out of the gate, they could still come up later. They still could prove themselves. They still could be great pitchers. They're both young, with obviously Jones no time and Priester just a little time. I could see an Ortiz-Anderson, if that's the way they wanted to go, get Anderson to the point where Jared Jones is ready. And then, like I said, if Anderson's not cutting it, you make the swap, you go, or Quinn Priester or whatever. I could see that. So let's move on to this spot. What is your five-man rotation heading into the season? This is not what you would pick necessarily, but this is where you think it's going to be. We got Keller, Perez, Gonzalez, and how do you round out those two spots? What's your guess now that we've talked about it all?
It's, for me, it's just still two of those three. It's Priester, Ortiz, and Jones. And I don't really see anybody else.
If I'm going to ask you, make a pick.
Right. Right now, I'm going to say Priester and Ortiz.
Okay. That's who I have too. I'm really impressed with Priester so far. And I think he's nothing left to prove in AAA. He's not a roster move that you have to make right out of the gate. I think if you know, Jones, give these guys a shot. Jones is the first call up.
Yeah.
After today, I'm not sure. You're trying to win. But like, I don't feel bad about either of those guys. As a matter of fact, I mean, there's a chance I could say, can we just put Jones, Ortiz, and Priester there and not Gonzalez or something like that? All right. Let's talk about your bullpen. I'm going to say Bednar, Chapman, Holderman, Majinski are there. Brocky, let's put Brocky in there. He's there. Who's your last three?
I got Hernandez. I actually have Stratton in there making the team.
I do too.
And I got one of Falter or Contreras.
For me, it's Contreras. I want to see if he can figure it out because he's younger and I think his ceiling is higher. I'm just so done with Falter. I'm ready to move on. I'm picking Contreras in that case. I understand what you're saying. I'm in the same boat. There's no options. You just don't want to throw everybody out there and hope that Brent Honeywell and Hunter Stratton can get it done, because then you have no long man. And I don't want Ortiz, Priester, or Jones being a long man, or even Chase Anderson for that fact. But Contreras is on a short leash, man. I don't know how far you're trying to win games now. We can't just sit here and ride things out. So I just don't know. All right. Your catchers are Davis and DeLay. We think Grandal's on the IL, so I'm not going to really mess around there. I don't think there's anything there. Infielders, Telez, Cruz, Hayes, and then second base. Who do you have starting second base? Who's your winner of the second base?
I got Peggy.
You got Peggy as the starter.
Mm-hmm.
Okay. I think I'll go Triolo right now. I think he gets the first shot at it. Here's what I also think. I think that they play almost the same amount of innings. Because as soon as Hayes gets a day off, it's Triolo at third. As soon as Cruz gets a day off, I guess it could be Peguero at short or Triolo. It doesn't matter. I think there's plenty of playing time. I think they'll split time pretty well. I think they'll continue this battle into the season. I think there's plenty of at-bats for the two of them. But they're the two making my roster. Is Triolo on your roster?
Yeah, absolutely.
Okay. Okay.
Yeah, without a doubt.
All right, so I'm going to leave that open, right? There could be another infielder on this roster too. Reynolds, Sawinski, Taylor, we've talked about that. Connor Joe, Andrew McCutchen. That's five outfielders. Cutch is a DH. If they're slowing him down this much, he's a DH, and he's probably not going to play much outfield as we thought. Maybe there would be some shots. I'm not sure. So here's what I'm going to say. We've got Palacios and Olivares for the outfield still. And we said some things about them. We've got Nick Gonzalez, Alika Williams for the infield still. I mean, we think Bay is on the IL, so he's not included in this. And then also there's Sungshae Chang, but I don't think he's not going to make the roster, right?
Right.
And then there's some non-roster guys that I just don't know. I would leave open. That last bench spot. Do you go? So let's say Palacios has barely played. Is he on your roster?
He's not on mine. I think he's got to get more innings.
Okay, so he's either optioned or an IL stint, and then optioned if it's not a shot.
Yeah.
Olivares, we've talked about. Dude, I'm sending him down and seeing if he can figure it out.
Yeah.
And give him some chance. So then you have Nick Gonzalez, Alika Williams. Where do you sit here?
I don't think it's any doubt in my mind it's Gonzalez. Just because I just don't think Alika Williams can hit.
But if he's barely playing, I mean, we just talked about the scenarios. Like, when is Gonzalez even going to get a chance to play? If he's infield only and you've got Triolo and Peguero doing the lion's share of second base and covering the rest of those positions. I mean, Nick Gonzalez can play, I think, comfortably. He can play second and third. He can play short, but probably as good as Peguero can. He probably would prefer Triolo there, really. So I don't know how many at-bats there are for him. And so I'm kind of indifferent on that too. I think there are moves you could make off this 40-man roster. I want to know what you think about Billy McKinney, a left-handed outfielder who also can play first, has played first this spring. But Billy McKinney, who's playing really well right now, and he's getting on base, he's playing well. What do you think? If the roster moves are made, let's let Nick Gonzalez play. Would you entertain that? I know it's another outfielder, but would you entertain that?
I would entertain it. I mean, you got to remember, you put Joe in as an outfielder, and he can play infield as well.
Sure. He's really been in the outfield a lot, but he can play some first. Yeah.
Yeah. I don't know that he plays anywhere else on the infield, but
But with Triolo and Peguero, I mean, you really do have.
You don't need to.
Yeah, and if any of those guys go down an injury, they're easily replaced by Nick Gonzalez, and you can just business as usual.
Mm-hmm. Yeah. I would entertain the.
Keep Gonzalez playing, right?
Yeah.
So as far as those DFA candidates on that roster, you got to think about how many. You would call up, right?
Mm-hmm.
And so you're talking about, I mean, at this point, Colin Selby, we've talked about how his struggles are. He's a candidate. Bailey Falter's already, if you're going to send him down, you may as well DFA him because he is out of options anyway. He's clearing waivers no matter what. So you're DFAing him when you send him down. You have to designate him for assignment. Yeah. There is no option available. So you're sending him down, you're DFAing him. So he's off the 40 man anyway, in that case.
Yeah.
Contreras is another one who's actually a candidate.
Yeah.
You know what I mean? Josh Fleming, I'm not really sure how that goes, but neither one of us said Josh Fleming. And he's got that like minors majors thing. If he doesn't make the major league roster, it's a minors deal, but does he Does he remain on the 40-man, or does he get dropped and clear waivers and do that whole thing? Because I believe, and we talked about this before, and I know that Ethan settled it straight, and I already forgot. So forgive me, Ethan. I'm sure I'm going to get a tweet, and I appreciate all of those because the guy, he knows it, so he'll correct me on that. And I'll retweet it, so for anybody who's listening and wants to know, check the Twitter. It'll be there, the X post. Other than that, I mean, Alika Williams is another option. I mean, Ali Sanchez, we didn't even talk about him. If he doesn't make the team, yeah. I think he's out of options. So he's off the 40-man as well. So there are plenty of opportunities for guys to be added, like McKinney and Stratton. And we didn't talk about the other reliever, Honeywell, as well, who could possibly be in that mix, depending on what's going on in the background, because his numbers are good as well. He hasn't faced quite the competition that Stratton has. But, I mean, it's hard to ignore the strikeouts. And like I said, if they like his stuff in bullpens, then if he's better than Stratton, they'll go that route too. So, there's guys. There's spots available.
Absolutely.
So, you know.
And we're at that spot in all this. Like, you know, spots are there to be taken. They're not.
Yeah.
Things aren't just given.
Like, yep. And here's my thing with whether it's Anderson, Stratton, Honeywell, or McKinney, you're giving them a shot. They don't have to stick.
Right.
If they don't, then Palacios comes back up. Smith and Jigba comes back up. Olivares comes back up. Excuse me. One of those guys can just come back up, and you can clear him through waivers and go from there, right? So that's kind of where I'm at with it. I think my last spot, actually, as I've been looking and as I'm watching right now, if spring training ended right now, I think I might give McKinney a shot. And I know a lot of people are cringing right now, but he's hot right now. It's another left-handed bat in the outfield, which right now isn't there.
Yeah.
Once Bay's back, once Palacio's clicking, if he's not doing well, then it's an easy decision, right? You just bring those guys back up and you go from there. If Smith and Jigba's crushing, I know you're a Smith and Jigba guy. So for me, that's it. As far as that, I like Stratton. I like what you're saying there, but Ortiz and Priester. So pretty interesting to see how that shapes up. But we've got our picks in, and not really our picks, right?
Right.
Not really our picks, but we've got our guesses in if everything ended right now. This next week is going to be really telling, and it's going to be interesting to come back even a week later and see what we've learned and maybe if our minds have been changed in one way or another. Any of these guys like Anderson or Honeywell or Stratton or whatever, any of these guys get blown up one outing, if they face major league hitters and just get blown up, could change our mind that easily, that quickly, could change our mind because of the fact that they haven't faced those guys yet that much.
Right.
So,
yeah.
Let me check as of Wednesday, like I said, Baseball Reference not being updated. Billy McKinney, his opponent quality is the third. Oh no, it's 7.3. So lower side, like where Celestino is. He's not facing great competition. Now, that's as of Wednesday. He had a nice game today. Yeah. Maybe we look and that is a little bit different by then. You know what I'm saying? And Edward Olivares and Palacios have faced good players, but Palacios played two games. I you know what I mean? He's just not ready to be there right now. I don't see him on this roster.
So. That's where I'm at with him. He's just not ready.
All right. Well, that was fun. Fun exercise. Next week, we're going to do our yearly projections and hot takes. We've done it different in the past. If you've been listening the last couple of years, we've done way too many things. We're going to cut it down this year. And, you know, instead of the milds and wilds that we've always done, we're going to go with some hot takes and some, what'd we decide on, cold takes?
I think so.
Okay. Either way, we're going to do our projections. We're going to tell you where we think the Pirates are going to finish the season or we'll talk about where they should and where we think they will or could rather, and what's upsetting if they finish, you know, with X amount of wins or whatever. So we'll do our wins, our record predictions, and we'll do some hot takes, some cold takes, on some, maybe some players or team things, whatever we decide, and have a nice little discussion about it. But I love doing the predictions and the picks and stuff like that at the beginning of the year, because I love revisiting it at the end of the year and say, this is where we were at.
We are.
Well, it's not just that, but it's also an idea of like, this is where this, it proves every year that you don't play this game on paper.
Right.
I mean, how many years are we going to say that San Diego likes to win the off season, but they don't care much to win the regular season because they are not doing that. So, you know, the Dylan Cease pick or trade, well, how's that going to work out for him? Well, they won the off season again. Oh, good. Even though they didn't this year, but.
Right. Yeah.
But either way, you get what I'm saying. So we're going to do that kind of stuff next week. Stick around for that. Happy St. Patrick's Day to everybody. Enjoy your week. Jake, do you have anything in closing here? I should play music.
It's just this next week's going to be kind of important for some of these battles, man. Let's just see how they play out.
Yeah, I'm pretty excited to see regular season coming. You know what I'm saying? And we'll obviously talk to you next week about that.
My opener's not too far away.
Yeah, so... But this is a big week for these guys, man.
Mm-hmm. Go get it, guys.
Let's go, Bucks.
Let's go, Bucks.
Thanks for listening to my dad and Uncle Jake on the Bridge to Bucktober podcast. Follow them on Twitter, Facebook, and Instagram at Bridge2Bucktober. Don't forget to subscribe so you know when new episodes are released. Clear the deck. Cannonball coming. And let's go, Bucks.